Good evening.
If you gotta stop somewhere, why not here? If you gotta stop sometime, why not now? If we gotta stop somewhere, I say here. If we gotta stop sometime, I say now. Through the fog, there is hope in the distance. From cathedrals to third world missions, love will fall to the earth like a crashing wave. Tonight.
Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to Let's Do It Radio, sponsored by DoItAllInTheMall.com, the one place where you can shop online 24/7 securely and safely as we earn a commission from qualified purchases, which goes back to your community. making a difference nationwide. So take a tour and shop with us today at www.doitallinthemall.com. Welcome to Bible Study, and we are so grateful that you're here with us. We will be studying from the lesson from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, and we will be looking at the review of the different faces of a blessing, and we are so glad that you are here. So Reverend Leo will come and lead us in prayer at this time.
Precious Lord, we just thank you, dear Lord God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for another opportunity. Oh, Lord God, and we're asking that you will be with us during this time, that you, oh, Father God, will take charge and that you will be the teacher, that you will lead us, guide us, and direct us in your truth. But we know that your word is truth. And so, Lord God, we ask that you will open up our understanding, help us to understand, give us more wisdom, give us more knowledge to for your word. Help us, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you in your great wisdom will allow us to go forth with a little bit more knowledge and understanding about you. We ask, Lord God, that you will not just give it to us, but that you will give it to all that's on the line, all that's listening on the radio station, wherever they may be, dear Lord God. We ask that your spirit will take this word to them. We ask that your spirit will place it within their hearts, whereby they will not sin against you. We ask that your spirit will enlarge it in their minds, in their spirit, in their soul. Help them to feed on it, for it is your word that tells us that we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word, oh my, that comes out of the mouth of God. We ask you, oh Heavenly Father, that you will show us all how to feed on your word, and that we will not feed just one day, but that we will feed on it every day, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, whereby it will draw us and help us to understand even more so of how to live according to your way, according to your will, and according to your righteousness. We just ask you, Lord God, that you will be again, we ask, be with the teacher this evening. Crown his head with much wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Help him, oh Lord God. In Jesus' name, I give you all the praise. I thank you for Spread the Word Ministry. I thank you for Do It All Radio. I thank you, oh Lord God, for the operators of the radio station. I thank you, oh Father God, for Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Rodney. And I ask your blessings upon all, including Sharon and everybody that's in connection with Spread the Word Ministry. I ask that you will bless us all, Lord God, to be very prosperous, and whatever our hands touch will prosper. I ask that we will, Lord God, that we will have good health and long lives in the mighty name of Jesus. I forever and always give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah and amen.
Amen, 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 and hallelujah. That's perfect. Thank you so much, Reverend. To God be the glory. My prayer is that everybody's doing okay. My prayer also is that I can be heard. Amen, amen, amen. Reverend Leo, can I be heard so far?
I hear you loud and clear, Reverend Rodney.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. I need to put you on the payroll. You do a real good job helping me with that. I'm clear. That's what I like to hear. All right. Well, we are we're looking at lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. Lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. And last time we met, and I think it took us a couple of Wednesdays, we talked about the different faces of a blessing. And we looked at the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 5. And one of the first things I want to do is review, but the review is simply going to be we are going to read verses 1 through 12 of Matthew chapter 5. And if there are any questions, concerns, comments, we will engage. Otherwise, we are going to move right on. So the review will be in that form. Yes.
Amen. I'll read it for you, Reverend Rodney. Okay. I'm going to be reading from, what version is this, New Century Version? New English Version. And it starts with verse number 1. Seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you or persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. That is verses 1 through 11 of chapter 5. May the Lord add a blessing to the word, and may he bless the hearers and the doers who are obedient to his word. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And verse 12 says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so tonight we want to look at verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. We're just going to continue on, and we have entitled this lesson, The Christian Purpose. The Christian Purpose. Mm-hmm. And again, Lord, please bless us in our study. You always do. We ask now that you would forgive us our sins and that you would allow us to be able to comprehend and receive your word. Thank you again for this perfect opportunity that you always give imperfect people. Please line us up as close to perfect as you can, that you might be pleased with all of our activities and all of our efforts, because we do it all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Christian purpose. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And we'll keep repeating those verses just in case people come on later doing the discussion so that they know where we are. First thing I want to do is mention the Great Commission that's found in Matthew. But before we read it, I want to ask a couple of questions, and I want us to jot the answer down or just say the answer out. We're very informal here. And so, but before we go to Matthew in chapter 28 where it's written, I want to ask a couple of questions. And the first question that I want to ask is, who was given all authority in heaven and on earth? Who was given all authority on heaven and earth? And if you want to mute, you can take your phone off mute and just say it. It'll be okay. Who was given all authority on heaven and in earth when it comes to the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20? Who was that person? Who was given all authority?
Jesus.
Somebody said Jesus. Amen. That's two.
It was Jesus.
Jesus is too easy. Seems like a trick question. Yes, Jesus was given all authority on heaven and on earth. Now, there are four things. Four things were listed there that we should do according to the Great Commission. Four things. And somebody began to just say what they we're gonna go and read it in just a minute. No, you're not gonna get graded where you're gonna fail the class for this. So it's gonna be that serious. But if you remember any of those four things, then I want you to say them now, and then we're gonna go to it and read it. We should be going, right? Does it say go?
Yeah, that's what I say. Go in obedience.
Says go.
Mm-hmm.
What else it says? Baptize?
Yeah, well, first is teaching them all things.
Teach.
Mm-hmm.
That's three right there. Go.
Make. Make disciples.
What's that?
Make. Make disciples.
That's all four. Go, make, teach, baptize. Not in the correct order, but there they go. Go. We are to go. We are to make. We are to baptize. To teach. Now, somebody find it. Find Matthew 28.
I have it.
19 and 20, and then we can read it.
Mm-hmm. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. I just wanted us to lift that up because the Great Commission tells us what to do. Would y'all agree?
Yes.
The Great Commission tells us what to do. But we also need a plan. The plan tells us how to do what the Great Commission wants us to do. But we also need a purpose. And the purpose is the thing that motivates us. You know, if we can have the Great Commission, we can have a plan. But if we don't have a purpose that motivates us to follow through, oftentimes we won't do anything. So the Great Commission tells us what to do, but we have to have a plan that tells us how to do it. And then we must have a purpose. That's going to motivate us. That purpose is going to motivate us to do it. And so that's why I have listed on this outline Nehemiah's plan. Not to go study Nehemiah's plan, but just to discuss it briefly. Because Nehemiah put a plan in place. Nehemiah was doing what? Rebuilding a wall, right? Because the wall was torn down. You all can help me with the story because we don't want to go and study the story again. We're just passing through Nehemiah's plan. And so we are going to discuss it just so we can highlight the importance of having a plan. If we're going to follow through on the Great Commission, we have to have a plan. But in order to move on that plan, we got to have a purpose within us that's going to make us want to move to follow through on the plan so that we can do what the Great Commission is asking us to do. Mm-hmm. So what one of the things that Nehemiah did in the very beginning as he started to rebuild his wall is that he prayed early on. Am I right?
Yeah, we will pray. We will make sure that we engage in prayer first.
Yeah, he prayed. He prayed early on. And then he went and sought help from people who had stuff that could help him.
Right.
He went to people who had some level of influence, and he inquired about help, and people gave him some help. And then he came back, and at night he went and surveyed, Reverend Lill, at night he went and surveyed the wall. He went out and walked around, looking and see what the challenge was that was set before him. And then we're cutting corners here because we really don't want to get too deep into this. But once he figured everything out that needed to be figured out, then when the work started, he engaged the people. And he made sure that the people felt ownership of what he was doing because he had people to build a wall closer to their house. And so if I'm building a wall right behind my house, that's going to make me be invested. That's going to make me want to make sure I'm doing my very best to protect that which is going to protect me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to also make more structural sense because you don't have to go as far to do the work.
Right.
So you can build, and plus with your investment, you're going to also do a better job on what's closest to your house because you want your house to always look good,
right? That's right.
Amen.
That's right. So that's why we wanted to lift up Nehemiah's plan. It's often preached. It's often taught. It's a good plan. Nehemiah was very, very, very smart in a lot of ways. But he sought God for his divine wisdom in order to do what he was able to do. Let me ask us this. What's our purpose? And I want a little dialogue as it relates to this. What's our purpose? What's your purpose for studying God's word? And what's your purpose for praying? And you can respond. What's your purpose for getting in God's word and studying it? And what's your purpose? Let me hear from somebody.
Well, mine is really twofold. One is because I want to know all I can know about the God that I serve. And the second is because I want to operate in obedience. He tells us and teaches us to study his word and to pray. We're the same thing, the same answer for prayer. Prayer is just talking to God, just like I talk to you. And it's communicating with the Father. And naturally, if I'm going to serve him, our Father, then I want to talk to him sometime. Just
That's right.
be every day, all the time.
Amen.
And the more you read and study his word and apply his word, then you will begin to grow in grace.
Yeah.
And so we need to grow because he does not intend for us to remain in our elementary state as we are when we first come to Christ.
Very good. Very good. So would we agree that if we didn't have a purpose to study God's word, will we not study it as much? The purpose motivates us to study it even more, right?
Right. And we receive such encouragement from the word.
If we didn't have a purpose to pray,
maybe we wouldn't pray.
We wouldn't pray as much.
That's right. Probably wouldn't pray at all.
Probably wouldn't pray at all. Like, you're right. That's really where I wanted to head. Because I really want us to highlight the fact that we are talking again about the Christian purpose. And this is Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. We're just continuing from the verses last couple of weeks. So we're talking about the Christian purpose. Purpose is the fuel that runs the automobile. Our purpose is the fuel that runs the automobile. We can have the best looking and the most expensive automobile, but if we don't have a purpose to get in it and crank it up, that automobile would never reach its full potential.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what makes us get in that car, crank it up, put it in gear, and drive is going to be a purpose. We got to have some kind of purpose to motivate us.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, all we want to do is have a nice-looking car, a nice, shiny-looking car. So we have the purpose is the fuel that runs us, purpose is the fuel that runs the automobile. All right, let's get into it. Jesus teaches us about our purpose by using two simple illustrations. He teaches us about our purpose by using two simple illustrations. Jesus first connects our Christian purpose with the fact that we are the salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that again. Jesus first connects our Christian purpose with the fact that we are the salt of the earth.
Uh-huh.
Jesus solidifies our importance. Jesus sets us apart. Now watch this. We will never know our purpose without first knowing who we are in Christ.
Amen.
All right.
We'll never know our purpose. Mm-hmm. We'll wander around all of our lives if we don't come to realize who we are in Christ. Again, watch this. We can't define who we are based on what people say. Mama them might have it all twisted.
Mm-hmm.
boyfriend or girlfriend can't define who you are, who we are.
Yeah.
We can't define who we are by a coach or a teacher who always been putting us down. We can't define who we are by the haters and the backstabbers and those who have a crab mentality.
Uh-huh.
Our definition of who we are must come from 1 Peter 2:9-12. Somebody find it. I have it outlined here in the outline. But if somebody will find it and read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. That's who we really are once we come to know Christ. Mm-hmm.
Chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy."
Yeah.
Amen. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation."
All right. So we are chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation. We are people belonging to God. That's who we really are.
And that's a good thing. That will let us know that we're somebody's people. We are special.
Amen.
God equates us with people who are somebody special.
Yeah.
I remember, I think it was Jesse Jackson who would always say, have people repeating the phrase, "I am somebody."
Uh-huh.
If you ever have doubts as to who you are, read what the scripture says. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people belonging to whom? God.
That's right. That's right.
You don't get any special than that.
Amen. Amen. But now the enemy will use people to paint a picture of us, to paint a false picture of us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Us believing that we are somebody different than who God really has called us to be.
Right.
And if we're not careful, we'll buy into who people say we are.
And this is why we have to have a healthy self-esteem as we're growing in grace.
That's
because
right.
If I feel good about who I am and I know who I am and who God made me to be, nobody can come and tell me anything different. So irregardless to what you say about me, I have to receive what you say.
Yeah.
So I know not to receive the negative things you say about me,
yeah,
which does not allow me to take on those kinds of feelings.
Right, right. And we're going to get somebody else engaged in just a minute, but you said something about a healthy self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to have a healthy self-esteem in the natural, but I believe it's another thing to have a healthy spiritual self-esteem, you know. Because you know, we tell young folks all of the time, have a healthy self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to have a healthy self-esteem, you need to love yourself, mm-hmm, right? That's one of the things we tell people. You need to love yourself. You need to love you for who you are. You need not try to be like somebody else. You need to love yourself. You need to love the way God has made you. Because the way God has made you, you are special. So love yourself to build your healthy self-esteem. Love yourself. But if we're going to build a healthy spiritual self-esteem, we have to understand that Christ loved us not only from a physical standpoint, but we have to look at it from a spiritual, if I'm making any sense, because I think it's a healthy self-esteem as it relates to worldly self-esteem, then it's a healthy self-esteem as it relates to spiritual matters.
That's exactly right.
And we need to have both.
And that's why Christ is always telling us we can do all things through Christ.
That's right.
Who strengthens us.
That's right.
That's what the word is telling us that.
That's
Paul
right.
Paul says it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
That's right.
So when somebody tells me I can't,
that's right,
then I can take on the attitude that I want.
Can. That's right.
Because according to the word, and if I believe the word already says I am somebody.
Yeah.
And I can do what? All things
that's
through
right.
him who strengthens me.
That's
so
right.
We don't want to let anybody get in our ear and telling us all these negative things, because these things are contrary to the Word of God.
That's right. That's right. And again, we're talking about the Christian purpose. And in this text, this text, the word is using the fact that we are the salt of the earth to help explain one of our purposes. We are the first and not the last. Y'all heard that before?
Yes.
We are the first and not the last. We the head and not the what?
Tail.
Heard that before too. Not only will God give us life, but God will give us life what?
More abundantly.
Now watch this. We are so special. God said that I will never leave nor forsake.
Leave you or forsake you. Yes.
Never leave you or forsake you. To me, that says we somebody. We somebody in God's sight. If God cares enough about us, God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you nor will I forsake you.
That's right. Hallelujah.
That's good news. That's right. Hallelujah. So today Jesus calls us the salt of the earth. Salt of the earth.
Yeah.
This only means something. This only means something once we understand a little bit about the word salt.
All right.
Well, tell us a little bit about the word salt, Pastor.
I will, with the help of everybody. The fact that we are special in God's sight can work for or against us.
Mm-hmm.
And Reverend Curley said something in her message this morning similar to this, because she said God's grace and mercy could be used to our benefit, and it can be used to our detriment.
Uh-huh.
She said, God's mercy can be used to our benefit. It certainly can be used to our benefit, because we mess up all of the time, and His mercy gives us another opportunity.
His mercy helps us to have that healthy self-esteem.
His mercy helps us to have that healthy self-esteem.
Spiritually and physically.
And she also said His mercy can be used to our detriment. And I just went on to add, one way it could be used if we try to use it. Well, we just keep on sinning because grace abounds. And the scripture clearly says not.
That's it.
Clearly says not.
Hallelujah.
So, the fact that we are special in God's eyesight can work for and against us. Here's how it can work for us. It can work for us if we realize that we are special not because of who we are, but because of whose we are.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
It can work for us if we realize that the only reason we are special to God is not because of who we are, but because of whose we are.
Amen. Yeah. And we know who we are because He says what? When we accept Him, He accepts us, and we become what? Children of God.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's right. That's right. The Christian purpose, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Y'all know something? We didn't and couldn't make ourselves special. We didn't make ourselves special, and we couldn't make ourselves special. But we are special in God's eyesight. We are chosen people. We couldn't choose ourselves. We are royal priesthood, holy nation, people belonging to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's God who is doing the choosing. God is choosing us. And Carolyn just said this. Paul said, I am who I am by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Paul says, I am who I am, not because of anything I've done, but I am who I am by the grace of God. And all of us need to come to realize that we are who we are by the grace of God. I don't care what we have. I don't care what we've accumulated. I don't care where we live, what we drive, what they say
only
when we walk.
By the grace of God.
Right. What they say when we walk in the bank. Do they say, wow, because we got a lot of, do they say, wow, because we ain't got nothing? It does not matter. It does not matter what they say when we walk in the bank. We are somebody. I am who I am by the grace of God.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing good in me. There's nothing good in me except the Christ that lives in me.
Uh-huh.
That's in Romans.
That's
12. That's in Romans 7 and 18. There's nothing good in me.
And Jesus said that as well.
Except that Christ. Mm-hmm. And lives in me. So that's how it can work for us. The fact that we are special can work for us or it can work against us. Here's how it can work against us. It can work against us. It can work against us because we've been set apart. And if we take the idea that I've been set apart, I'm going to stay set apart, and I'm only going to associate with certain folks.
All right.
Don't make no sense, but that's how it can work against us. That's how being special in God's eyesight can work against us, because we are a royal priesthood. Mm-hmm. We are a chosen people, and we can take the stance that I've been set apart. Now I'm going to stay set apart. I'm only going to associate with certain folks because I'm too good.
That's not what he wants.
Okay, that's what the Pharisee did, wasn't
it? What? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again, Reverend.
That's what the Pharisees did.
That's what the Pharisees did.
Yeah, they only associated with a certain group of people.
And that's why Jesus called them what? Hypocrites.
They didn't, you see, they didn't want to associate with Jesus. They kept spying on him. They didn't.
Yeah.
They were better than everybody else. They had the word of God. Didn't nobody else have the word of God? The Gentiles didn't have the word. They had the word of God.
Yeah.
But they kept it to themselves. They was not sharing the word.
Mhm. Mhm.
They was what? Mm-hmm. They was associating with only a certain type of people. Themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And they had to have been spying on Jesus or whatever, because you remember it was said that look at Jesus hanging out with them tax collectors.
That's right.
Look at him going to the tax collector's house.
Well,
that's right.
If we are not careful, we can see ourselves that happening to the human race today.
Thing. Exactly.
Yes. And we're quick to separate. And the only thing we should be separating is sin. So we need to come out from among them when we're in a sinful
realm.
But we need to go to them where we can carry the light and be the salt that God has created us to be. So if I'm going to hang around the car wash, I shouldn't hang around the car wash with a brown bag, but I should hang around the car wash with the word of God.
Amen. That's good.
That is. And the word of God, and the word of God don't have to be the biggest Bible you got in the house that you took down into the car wash with you. You don't have to have that.
Amen.
You don't have to have one of them fancy covers. The word of God can be in you that you down there at the car wash with. Am I right?
That's right.
Just make a point.
Can I ask a question?
I don't need to go down there and try to make people intimidated with the great big book. That's why I'm so grateful to have my little small New Testament that I'm able to share with when it's appropriate, but I can put it in my fanny pack as I need to.
Right. Right.
I think Janet had a question.
Go ahead, Miss Janet.
Did you say car wash?
Yes.
I'm not seeing. I don't understand. Can you repeat what you just said? Because I didn't understand it.
I was saying that I shouldn't be afraid to hang around the car wash, the place where you go wash your cars. Any kind of thing could be going on at that kind of place, but I shouldn't be afraid to go. And if they're all drinking and smoking and hanging out and doing whatever needs to happen, I shouldn't be afraid to go because these things are going on. I should be taking my word of God that's inside me rather than taking a brown bag that people have and they put their drinks in a brown bag. Have you ever seen that?
Right.
People put a can of beer in a brown bag.
Mm-hmm. In this area, we have some car washes where, you know, more than just washing cars going on. People congregate, and people hang out, and people just do what people do. And they'll pull it, you know, the car wash might have 30 cars, and maybe five of them washing their cars or whatever. So I think she just used that to illustrate going into a place that might be, where the word could be shared, but you don't want to engage. You want to go in and you want to be separate in the sense of. Yeah, go ahead.
So does that mean, does that make us, is that what we mean by the salt of the earth? You know,
well,
that we're the salt of the earth.
We're going to get to that and talk about the salt of the earth more.
Oh, okay.
But what we're doing is we're bringing the salt of the earth, we're bringing flavor to the things that are negative in Christ.
All right.
So we'll get to that in a minute.
All right. So here again,
thanks.
Good deal. Here again, how it can work against us. If we think we are who we are because of our own strength, it can work against us. If we look down on folk and have a condescending attitude, it can work against us being special in God's eyesight. Now, let's talk a little bit about salt. And Reverend Lil, I know you've done some research on salt, probably by Reverend Carolyn. Salt is a chemical that can help or hurt us. Would you all agree?
Yes.
Salt is a chemical that can help or it can hurt us. And again, we're talking about Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're talking about Matthew chapter 5, verses 13, 14, 15, 16, the Christian purpose.
Yes.
Salt can work for us or salt can work against us. Salt is a preservative. Salt adds flavor to our food. You know, you athletes sometimes have a cramp. They've been practicing and running all day, and they'll be given a little piece of salt because it can relieve cramps. You mix it with some warm water, like my folk used to do, and it can relieve a sore throat.
Uh-huh.
But salt also can
exactly.
kill. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Salt also can kill us.
Yeah.
It can kill us. And how can it kill us?
Make the blood pressure go up.
Make that make that blood pressure go up. That's right.
Yeah.
Salt as we know it. Salt as we know it. Now, and somebody may speak to this. Salt back then was a little different than the salt we use today. But I don't want to go too far into that. Is Reverend Eric on the line? But salt back in the Middle East time was a little different than it is today, but it had some of the same characteristics and some of the same purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus called us the salt of the earth.
Uh-huh.
The important part is getting ready to come up now. Yes, we are the salt of the earth. So let's look at this as Jesus as the backdrop. Verse number 13. In verse number 13, there's an important question that it's inferring an answer that's frightening. And you remember in English class, we used to talk about inferring. You know, you have to read something and infer what it's saying. This verse, there's an important question, and it's inferring an answer that is frightening.
Okay.
And the answer that's frightening is if we lose our saltiness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If the salt loses its saltiness. So it's inferring that we can lose something, right?
Yeah.
It's saying that we can lose our. They said, look what it says. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?
Okay.
So if we are the salt of the earth, but we as the salt of the earth can lose our saltiness.
Mm-hmm.
How can
How can it be made salty again?
Well, just thinking about salt and what salt does, salt dissolves and goes away. So you can't keep replenishing the salt that we have at the very moment. But when we're given the opportunity to be the salt of the earth, we have almost like a one opportunity chance. And when we miss and lose that chance may not come back again. Mm-hmm. This is why we need to be operating in the Spirit so that the Spirit helps us. Because if you're looking at me and I'm salty in a negative way that impresses you in a negative way that's going to demonstrate what I should be not looking like as opposed to what I should be looking like. So when this is happening, then I'm losing my flavor. So I guess what I'm saying is we're using that as an example, but the Lord gives us common sense, and the Lord has to work through the Spirit with all of us. So the Holy Spirit, I cannot leave away from what I'm trying to do. I need to let the Spirit help work things out in my life, right? And as the Spirit works things out for me, it'll still be good. So I don't have to get in a preservative state or add any more flavor to it. I need to use what the Holy Spirit gives me effectively at all times as best as I possibly can. Because I guess, and I'm going to use for an example, you know what it looks like when you're trying to make the impression before somebody when you meet them for the first time. First impression is usually what? Lasting impression. I was looking at Andy Griffin yesterday, and they were trying to show Ernest D. Bass how he should enter a room and how he should interact with the people. And they were trying to show him, you can dress up any kind of way, but if you have the same attitude, whatever you look like is not going to matter.
Right.
So I'm trying to show the person or the characteristic of Christ when I'm interfacing and interacting with you. But if you're seeing something other than the characteristic of Christ, I can't go back and change that. You're going to always look at me and think, wow. And this is Carolyn McCullough, the one who preaches and teaches God's word. Mm. So that is why I have to not miss the opportunity to be the best that I can be
right.
at all times.
Right.
Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
I would like to just add something to that because this is a parable. And Jesus
yes.
is telling us that we are like salt. The salt
That's
is
right.
the word to say that it's the word of God. Reverend Rodney
yeah.
started off with go make disciples, teach all nations, and baptize
mm-hmm.
in the name
mm-hmm.
of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This is what he's talking about. We are the salt of the earth. We are the
mm-hmm.
carry word of God. Salt is
mm-hmm.
it's a preservative, and it can preserve
mm-hmm.
from corruption as well as give us flavor. That's what Sister
mm-hmm.
Ellen was talking about. And it
mm-hmm.
also is to give us influence in the world. We are the
yeah.
salt of the earth. We are
yes,
the season of the earth. We are the ones that are supposed to get the word of God out to the world. And when
That's
we
right.
do that, when we lose that salt, when we become like Reverend Carolyn say, if you put in water, it's going to disappear. Reverend Rodney
That's
say,
right.
can you get it back again? Well, no. If it disappears, if it dissolves, No, you can't. How you going to get it? But we are the seasoning, and when we stop being the salt, then we're no more good to God.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
And
that's
he right. is clear that when we're no more good for him, he will do what? Cut us down, throw us in the fire, right? And get
Man.
Rid of us, because we need to be fruit, bearing good fruit at all
right.
times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So y'all tied up all. Y'all tied up all those loose ends right there. So we know that we're not a pillar of salt, because there was a lady that was turned into a pillar of salt in the Bible. So we know we're not literally salt, as Reverend Lil just explained again. We're not salt. It says you are the salt of the earth, but we know we're not literally salt. So let's talk again about the good things that salt do, because being the salt of the earth, we should be providing the goodness, the good things that salt performs. So we should be producing salt. So we should be seasoning, and I'm not going to say it exactly as it should be said, but you all can jump in. So we should be seasoning a world with Jesus Christ. We should be spreading the seasoning of Jesus Christ all over a lost and a dying world. We should be preserving, salt preserves. We should be preserving, teaching people how to preserve who they are in Jesus Christ. Okay? And there are other things that salt do that we should be doing as well. But it says, but if the salt has lost its taste. And see, I'm thinking about it like this. Can I have a handful of salt? It didn't disappear, but is it no longer salty? It's just it doesn't have that salt taste anymore. That's where my mind goes when it says lose its taste. Mm-hmm. Not disappear, but just don't taste like salt no more.
Right. We can have that.
Just ain't got too old or too something happened to it. But
yeah, I think the air can hit it. Like the air hit it long enough, it can cause it to change its effectiveness.
The chemical make of it, up of it, may change. So that's the question. If I done let this salt, if I done did whatever I needed to do to make this salt not taste like salt no more, it's not salty no more, can I make it go back to salt? And somebody has already answered that and said no. So we don't want to lose that which we have for Jesus Christ as it relates
Amen.
To us being the salt of the earth.
Amen.
Because if we lose it, we might not get it back. And also have on this paper, this might speak a little bit to the debate where we often talk about once saved, always saved.
All right now.
And this may cross over into some dangerous territory, but if in this parable we can lose our saltiness,
yeah.
Then maybe once saved, ain't always saved.
Uh-huh.
Well, I never thought that once saved, always saved, because I've always felt like Jesus spent too much time trying to instruct us on how to keep it right.
That's right.
And if he felt like we couldn't lose it, he wouldn't have spent that much time talking about what we need to do to keep it right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I believe that I can turn away from God, because God never took away my free will away from him.
Yeah.
So it's not God changing. It is not God taking my salvation away, but it's me giving it up.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because then we'll talk about saved but separated. You know? Saved but separated. We saved, but we separated from Christ.
The only thing that's going to separate you from Christ is sin.
Right.
God is a holy God, and God expects us to be a holy people serving him and worshiping him. And if we are going to be a holy people, we have to live according to a holy standard.
That's right.
Yep.
So I don't care how we cut it. No matter what you want to do, we can't make things what we want it to be. We have to do what the word says.
Yeah.
That's right.
The Christian purpose. Matthew chapter 5. And we're looking at verses 13, 14, 15, 16. And once
we get done with verse 16, we're going to be done for the night. The Christian purpose. We are the salt. We are the salt of the earth. But if we lose our taste, if we lose our saltiness, can we get it back?
No.
Questions, comments, concerns from anybody as we press on?
Well, again, I'd just like to say thank God for Jesus. Because of his mercy, we can always go to him, fall on our knees, and say, forgive me, Lord, for not being the salt you have called me to be.
Amen.
Forgive me, Lord, for sinning against you. Forgive me, Lord. And that is a great privilege.
It is.
But in that being a great privilege, we want to make sure that we're not exerting his mercy to a point to wherein he will get tired of us just continuously sinning, running back, sinning, running back, sinning, running back.
So if the salt loses its taste, let me add something.
Let me throw something in right there.
Come on.
You just wanted to know how could you get the taste back. And Pastor just come across the top of getting the taste back. If you have lost that taste of saltiness, the only way to get it back is to receive Jesus again. That's the only way you're going to get that area to be salty again, because he is the salt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And as we accept him, we are replenished through Christ only. Otherwise, you will never come to be like salt again.
Yeah.
Think about what you're saying.
Right.
We're saying that. And we're going to the world saying, hey, accept Christ. I'm offering you Christ. He is the salt. He is the source of the main source of the salt.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanna straighten up and you wanna be right, come to Christ. And that and you will become like the salt. That's the only way you're going to get the salt. Now, if you turn away from Christ, then, yes, you're going to lose the saltiness.
So we got to turn it back.
Stay with Christ. We are. We got to turn from where we're at if we don't accept Christ. And for sin, we're in a sinful nature body. Our body is sinful. Yeah. We're going to continue to sin. But we're going to have to ask for repentance on a daily basis in order to get around that area that sin creates. Because, yes, our Lord does not, our God does not want to be with us when we're sinning. But yet and still, he made a way, and that is through Christ. So we have to look at that like that.
Amen.
We can't let it get away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
What I hear you saying is never lose sight of the fact that even if you astray, you can always come back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
We need to come back quickly, because if we keep reading, it says if we lose our saltiness, it is no longer good for anything. It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. So that's our state. That's the state we will be in once we lose our saltiness, once we lose our salt taste, once we lose our effectiveness for Christ. Because we are the salt of the world. We are the salt of the earth. But if we don't have no salt working for us, we're no good. And I think it's been said by Reverend Lil and others already, we're no good. We're useless to the kingdom. We're useless to God. All we're good for
It's to be thrown, and that's how they used salt back then. They used to put salt on top of the roof. The salt used to help the roof back in those days because the roofs were flat. You know, oftentimes you think the roofs were like the roofs are today, pitch, but the roofs were flat. People would live on the roof,
right.
Sleep on the roof, and they would have a ladder leading up to the roof, and they would spread salt out on top of the roof and trample on it.
Well, you know, even for the snow cities, that uses ice on the road, it damages the cars and causes the cars to rust out, if I'm not mistaken. Now, Janet probably can answer that better than me because she lives in a snow city.
Yeah, it rusts it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say.
Yeah, it eats away at the metal. Oxidated.
Yeah.
Right.
On the metal.
But it's also good for melting the ice and the snow.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's a good part of salt. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Take some of that salt.
As the salt of the earth, we should be melting away a lot of evil. We should be melting away a lot of corruption. We should be melting away a lot of wrong. If you want to look at it in that light.
That's good.
Just trying to add some stuff that works.
Right.
All right.
And it brings
and this is why
a sort of
gay parable. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, it brings the safety also, the salt. You put the salt down on the ice so it prevents you from slipping and falling. So it presents a safe place for you.
Right.
In that
right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we certainly should be showing people a space in a better way once we come to know who Christ is. So, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Our purpose is what keeps us healthy. Our purpose is what keeps us working. Our purpose is what keeps us coming and going. Our purpose is what keeps us praying. Our purpose is what keeps us studying. Our purpose is what keeps us loving. If we are pulling back, slowing down, and losing some ground, maybe we need to reevaluate our purpose.
Amen.
I'll say that again. Mm-hmm. If we are pulling back, slowing down, and losing some ground, maybe we need to reevaluate our purpose. Because remember,
amen.
Our purpose is the thing that's going to motivate us to work the plan that we put in place so that we can do as the Great Commission calls us to do. Go and baptize and teach and whatever. All those things we talked about in the beginning. We got to be motivated to do those things.
And maybe we need to keep the purpose before us. Keep the Great Commission before us, or keep the mission statement before us. Whatever we are doing, be it in an auxiliary, be it in a ministry, be it in a family, be it in a club, whatever the mission is, we need to keep the mission before us so that we do not lose sight of what it is that we're doing. And what you're saying is we need to keep the mission purpose before us. And so our mission should be to go, to teach, to baptize, and make disciples. All of that changes when we give our lives to Christ. Our primary purpose then becomes doing what? Focusing on becoming and making. And I say we always want to stay with becoming first because you can't give something that you are what? Not.
Right. Right, can't teach something you don't
know. You can't teach something you don't know.
You got to learn it first, then teach it. Right.
And so you got to be a disciple before you can make a disciple.
Amen.
Otherwise, you will make what you are, good or bad or indifferent. And that may not be good.
Amen.
All right, lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. The Christian purpose, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13, 14, 15, 16. Now, let's move on. All right.
Why are we doing what we do? Why are we doing what we do? Is it for God's glory? So, again, if we're pulling back, slowing down, and losing some ground, maybe we need to reevaluate our purpose. Why are we doing what we do? Is it for the glory of God, or is it for our glory? Verse number 14. Second, Jesus connects our Christian purpose with being the light of the world. He connected our Christian purpose with being the salt of the earth. Now Jesus is connecting our Christian purpose as being the light of the world. Again, Jesus adds value to who we are. God expects us, God expects our light to shine. Why would we not want to use something that's given to us that we need and can make a difference in the world? If God has given us this light, why would we not want to use this light in a manner that's going to be beneficial and uplifting to the kingdom of God? What if God gave you an invention? An invention that could help the world. An invention that could cure something.
Well, let's just use Corona.
Let's just use Corona. What if God gave any one of us an invention or the knowledge that could cure, that could wipe Corona out today? Mm-hmm. And God gave it to us, but we don't use it. We just let Corona keep on running all over the world, and we got it right in our. The answer is sitting right on our living room table, right on our dining room table, right in our house, right in our. The answer is sitting right where in arm's reach of us, but we don't use it. In a practical sense, that's not gonna make any sense. Go ahead, Reverend Leo.
You know. You asked that question, and I'm just sitting here thinking, maybe if we had been, and when I say we, I'm talking about all those that wear the name believers in Christ all over everywhere. If we had been demonstrating that salt and being the salt in the earth, and if we had been demonstrating this light that you're talking about, maybe we would not need invention to cure COVID because it would not be here.
I agree with you.
That's certainly one way to look at it. It wouldn't have even manifested itself.
That's right, exactly. Because I am a true believer that the salt is not being used to season anything, and neither is the light. I don't think the majority of us realize that we are the reflection of Jesus Christ, which is the light, and that we are the salt of the earth. To get the word, I just don't. Because remember, Rodney, if we all believed and understood it, I think we would be much further along, and it would not be so much foolishness going on in this world.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
You know, what I think also contributed to that, Reverend Neil, is that when he was saying something about giving God the glory,
mm-hmm.
what we've done is we've given ourselves the glory.
Say it, Reverend.
And because of that, we got in God's way.
Mm-hmm.
And we just messed things up. So everything that we do in behalf of or on behalf of God, we should be making sure that God is being glorified.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And if the glorification excludes the Great Commission, we already done messed up.
We already done messed up. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Think about how many churches have a mission that excludes the Great Commission.
Yes. Oh, yes, ma'am.
We talk about loving one another and showing people the love of God and meeting people's needs and all kinds of things. But many of our mission statements exclude the Great Commission.
Well,
that is the purpose of the church anyhow.
They exclude Jesus too.
So who are we glorifying?
Mm-hmm. That's the main ingredient. How are you going to leave out the main ingredient?
Yeah.
Main ingredient.
That's like me making dressing with no face.
I didn't want to go there, but I sure was thinking it. Yeah, that's the main reason. But listen, and we didn't go down this path because the text didn't lead us down this path, because the text is, and I'm just back up to the salt for just a moment. It says if the salt loses its taste,
mm-hmm.
But when Reverend Carroll was talking, the thought came to mind, we can still be salty. The salt, we might not have lost our taste, and we still might not be doing that.
Right.
We might be walking around just as salty as we could be. I mean, all of what God, we intact, but we still might not be doing what we need to be doing to a lost and a dying world. We never went down that road because we only went down the road of if we lose our taste, if we lose our saltiness. But what if we don't lose our saltiness? What if we still got our saltiness?
Well,
we ain't doing what we
the word of the Lord says that when we bear good fruit, we will see it being what? Produced.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And when there's no fruit being produced, I don't care how salty we are.
Yeah.
We're not helping the kingdom case.
That's right.
So everything that we do should be for the kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
And in other words, if we ain't using it, we might as well have lost it.
Might as well have lost it.
And a step further and say we're not using it rightfully. Because a lot of times, just use it. But I think it was Reverend Carolyn who was saying the other day, or was it you, Reverend Rogers, to say you can do something right, but it's wrong.
Mm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said we gotta ask the question all the time. How is this glorifying God? Are we glorifying God with whatever it is that we're doing? Mm-hmm. If it's not glorifying God, we might as well stop it.
Amen.
That's right.
So, you know, I might be going to church every Sunday, singing in the choir, and doing the prayer meeting. But if I'm not never sharing the word with people outside the church, then what is my seasoning doing? It ain't doing nothing.
Ain't doing nothing.
So that's where we have to challenge people to operate in the gift. We got to operate in the gift. We got to be led by the Spirit. We got to be operating in not ourselves but in the Holy Spirit. It's a lot of things that we can be doing and doing it right. I was telling Rodney today, as we ride around, let's start praying and asking the Lord to stop letting these nice big buildings not be used for anything, just sitting up. Give us one of these buildings so we can start doing the kind of ministry that we know needs to be done for God to be glorified.
Yes.
Amen.
Do that too. He can give us.
Yes.
I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm. So let's start praying and keep praying and asking him to do what needs to be done.
That's you, Reverend Carolyn.
Huh?
I've been praying about that ever since last year.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. just keep it this year, too, okay?
I'm still mm-hmm. praying for it. Oh, yes, ma'am.
Keep on.
But I'm asking him because, see, we're riding different places and seeing things and passing by stuff. So I'm just asking him to point things out to us as we, because we need him to direct us. We need him to lead us. And when he gives it to us, think about the quote. When Jesus gave the instructions, he told the disciples exactly what to say.
Uh-huh. Sure
and he said, the Lord has need of it, right?
Yep.
That's right.
So that's where we are.
Yep.
That's right.
Okay. What good are you? What good are we? What good are you being a Christian if nobody knows? That we are Christian if nobody knows it.
Well, can I?
That's just like being salty, you know, being the salt of the earth, but mm-hmm. not using what God has given us. What good is it? What good is it if we are Christian, but ain't nobody know we are Christians?
Well, let me ask it a different way. What good is it being a Christian and you got to always tell somebody you are?
All right. Same thing. Flip the script.
Flip the script.
You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. So if you want to take the time to light a lamp, why would you want to cover it up where it can't be seen?
All right.
If that's the case, don't even light the lamp. Don't even turn the light on, or don't even allow the light to illuminate. Just leave the light off. But if you're going to go to the extent to turn the light on, why cover it up? And the word is saying, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden.
That's right.
Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket.
Uh-huh.
They put it on a stand.
Yeah.
They put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house.
Uh-huh.
Verse number 16. Verse number 16, our purpose has more to do with others than ourselves.
Okay.
Our purpose has more to do with others than ourselves. Someone else's purpose is going to help you. Let me say that again. That your purpose most often is going to be for somebody else. Somebody else's purpose is going to help you. And let me make it real clear. Our light must so shine not for ourselves, but that others will see our light and our good works. Isn't that what it's saying?
Put it on a stand.
Put it on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good work and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So our purpose has more to do with others than ourselves. Someone else's purpose is going to help you. Our light must so shine for not for ourselves, but that others will see our light and our good work. Now watch this. A flashlight, the light that comes out of a flashlight, doesn't benefit the flashlight that the light is coming out of. Y'all got to follow me to get this. The light is coming out of a flashlight.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't benefit the flashlight that the light is coming out of.
Right.
The light that's coming out of flashlight is cast on everything else.
Amen.
And it benefits everything else that is being cast on. It is not benefiting the flashlight itself. So we are the light of the world. We're not. Our light is not benefiting us. Our light should be benefiting everybody and everything else is being cast on.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's a great, great point.
Yes.
Profound.
A flashlight on light is no benefit to the flashlight itself, but the light benefits everything that the light is cast on.
Amen.
God was driven to do what God did. In Jesus Christ, because God had a purpose and a plan. A purpose and a plan to redeem a lost and a dying world.
Amen.
Amen. That's the end.
We have several different callers on the line. Last four digits, 1579, 8132, 8238, 9455. Do any of you care to share any thoughts at this point? Are there any questions or comments? Well, we're certainly glad that you have joined us today, and we pray that you were as blessed as I have been in hearing what the word of the Lord says. And we will be here again in 2 weeks. Same bat station, same bat channel, same bat mobile. So come on and join the discussion. We thank God for each of you. Now let me ask, are there any prayer requests? Anybody you want to call out in prayer tonight? Will you share those names with me at this time?
Carolyn?
Yes.
I would like to ask prayer for Chris Mooney's family. A lot of us have worked with him on Let's Do It Radio. He passed yesterday from basically,
Amen.
They're safe from coronavirus. So let's put his family in prayer.
Very good. And then we want to pray for another person. I'll get the name in just a little. Well, let me see. I'm going from one thing to the other. Anybody else? Any other prayer? And I'll call the names in a minute. We want to lift up Nina Nyson. We want to lift up Charles Johnson and family. Anybody else? Don't let me be the only one calling them out. Y'all, please give us people
Our
you want.
Our President of the United States, Joe Biden.
Okay, President Joe Biden, okay.
We have Martine, and we have Shanti O'Brien, too, Carolyn.
Shanti O'Brien, and then we have Chloe Martine. Anybody else?
I guess we need to pray for the people in Afghanistan.
Oh, definitely. The people of Afghanistan. Anybody else?
I like prayer.
Okay, Sharon Frazier. All right, and we want to also lift up, let's see, I'm going to have the name in just a minute, Miss Elaine Moore. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Sunny, are you on the line? I think you are. I want to include Sunny in our prayers tonight as well. And I want to pray for Sister Eileen because she's always moving and going and being and doing and blessing others. And we just thank God for her. Reverend Eric, is there anybody we need to lift up on your end?
Delisa Smith.
Lisa Smith, okay.
Jaleesa. She has COVID. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Well, and then we want to pray for Reverend Chris Nichols. And she is still in the hospital, and I did get a text from Reverend, and they're trying to figure out why her white blood cells keep going down. So we want to thank God for what he's doing in all of our lives, and we just knowing that and believing that God is going to reveal all of the hidden things in the restoration process for all of these that we have been praying for with health challenges. So join me in prayer, if you will. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and I bless you and I honor you tonight and I just praise your holy name. I lift up Chris Moody's family and I ask that you be with them during this time of bereavement, Charles Johnson's family during this time of bereavement, oh God, the people of Afghanistan that have lost their lives, will lose their lives, and we thank you, oh God, for those who are in the hospital, Reverend Chris Nichols, Chloe Martin, Shanti O'Brien. We thank you for each of them, oh God, and we just praise you for all that you are doing. We thank you for your healing power, and we know that you are healing in the name of Jesus because the healing has already taken place with the finished work of Jesus on the cross, oh God. Mm-hmm. So we just ask now that you manifest the healing in the lives of your people. And we thank you for what you're doing in each of their lives. In the name of Jesus,
thank
we just ask that you heal Jaleesa Smith and keep her family safe during this time, oh God.
Yes.
We thank you, oh Lord. We lift up the President of the United States, President Joe Biden. I pray that you give him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and that he will continue seeking your guidance for leadership in as it relates to what to do and how to do it, oh God. Lord, remove any people who might be in his ear talking to him and saying things that are not beneficial for this world, oh Lord. We just thank you now in the name of Jesus. I bless you for Sonny. I thank you for Eileen. And I pray that you will continue to meet all of our needs according to your riches in glory. Touch Sister Sharon Frazier now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, oh God, for Sister Inez. And I pray that you will work out a way for her to be back with us very, very soon. I thank you for Janet and her family, and I continue to lift them to you. And I ask that you meet every need according to your riches in glory. We thank you for Reverend Lil and Reverend Eric and for the faithfulness of all of those who have joined us on the line tonight. We thank you for Let's Do It Radio. We thank you for Do It All in the Mall. We thank you, oh God, for making a way out of no way. And I pray, oh Lord, that you will continue in your infinite wisdom to show us how it is and what it is that we might do to make things work out for us. But you've already said that we need to give the tenth and the offering, and we also need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else that we need will be added unto us. So I pray, oh God, that you will help us all to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. And we pray that as they prepare to bury these people, we ask now that you will allow the homegoing celebration to be the best that it can be given the different circumstances that we are under and faced with, oh God. And then I ask that you touch my sister-in-law's brother and you be with him as he is mourning the loss of his daughter, oh God. So be with him now. And we thank you, oh God, for everything that you have done, will do, and will continue to do. So we thank you in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you bless Harry real good, oh God. Give him peace of mind because death has been around him. He lost his sister. Now he's lost his daughter. And I believe he lost his son also, oh God. So I pray that you be with them and touch my sister Sylvia and give her a heart, hallelujah, of comfort during this time because it's tough to lose so many people all at once. I know what it's like to lose a lot of people, and it's not easy, oh God. So we know that you sent your Holy Spirit, your comforter, to be with us during times like these. So we ask that you would cover all with your Holy Ghost and allow us to have that peace that passes all understanding, even in these uncertain times and uncertain conditions. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we bless you, and we're believing by faith that we all are healed, delivered, and set free. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. There's one song that will play, and then after this song, we will do an invitation to Christian discipleship. And so we ask that you get your hearts and minds ready to receive Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hello, everybody. This is Barack Obama, and I'm here to encourage each and every one of you to shop at doitallinthemall.com. This website will make a difference in our communities and in our lives. I encourage you to do all your shopping at doitallinthemall.com. Let's start making a difference today. Support your people by doing something you are ready to do. It's just where you shop, and that is important, and that matters. Keep the wealth in our communities. Shop doitallinthemall.com. Thank you very much. Obama out.
Draw me. Draw me, Lord.
And I'll come running after you. Any God chasers out there? Draw me, Lord. And I'll come running after you.
Through study of his word, through prayer, through worship, and through service of him. And so we just thank God for this opportunity. And so I ask the question tonight, are you here and you have not made Jesus the Christ, your Lord and your Savior? And if you are, this is a good time to do that. So we don't ever want to gather and not give an invitation to Christian discipleship. So this is what we're asking you to do now. So if the Holy Spirit has been tugging at your heart and is encouraging you to speak up and say something, now is the time to do that. If you have never given your life to Christ, if you have fallen away from Christ and you feel that you are in a backslidden state, we can certainly pray and ask the Lord to rededicate you back to him tonight. Is there one who would like to do this tonight? Well, I tell you what we will do. Because we can't see and don't really know who's doing what, we're going to pray the prayer anyway. And I want you to repeat it in your heart. Or repeat it out loud, however you want to do it, and just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins today. Today I turn from my sins, and I invite you into my heart as my personal Savior.
Today I turn from my sins and invite you into my heart as my personal Savior.
I'm willing to follow and obey you as Lord of my life.
I'm willing to follow and obey you as Lord of my life.
Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life.
Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive my salvation.
Receive my salvation.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for praying that prayer with me, and we're so grateful to each of you for being on the line. And I'm going to turn it back over to Reverend Rodney, who will have last words.
Amen. Thank everyone again for your presence and your participation, and most of all for your prayers. The Christian Purpose, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 is what we were looking at, the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. So read those verses again, meditate on them, ask God to give you even an extended understanding. Ask God to give you even more insight for what it may be meaning for your life in particular. So we're looking at lessons from the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7. So we will pick up with another lesson in 2 weeks. Now unto him who's able to keep us from falling, but when we do fall, oh, how able God is to pick us up. To the most wise God, to the most powerful God, to a God that is present every place at the same time. Thank you, O God, for allowing us to have your word for just a little while to study. And now, God, I pray that it would take root inside of us, that we might be able to hold on to it as it grows in us. Allow us to share what you share with us with someone else. Help us to seek to reach a lost and a dying world. Thank you again. Keep us in perfect peace until we meet again. My prayer is always that no link out of this chain be broken. But God, we don't know when you come or when it's going to end for any of us. So I pray, God, that if a link is broken and you come for any of us, that we all are ready to meet you in heaven. Thank you again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen
again. Amen again. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Be blessed.
Same to you all.
Good night.